Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello, welcome to Baz and Andrew's bonus episode of House of Rugby here on Joe, together with our friends at Guinness. Today's episode is going to be an interview that Andrew did with Jacob Stockdale last week in, was it in?
It was in Belfast.
In Belfast.
It was at the Kingspan Stadium.
Very nice.
We went up to the corporate boxes and got a nice view of the pitch, and Jacob gave us lots of interesting insights.
Cool.
Entertaining and interesting insights on the hierarchy in the Ulster Rugby, the player system.
Wow.
An interesting formula that was created by Rory Best.
Go on.
To make sure that he remained top dog.
So you actually, there is a hierarchy, like a...
According to Rory, there is a very convenient hierarchy.
And what does this allow the man at the top to do?
Just to remain in his ivory tower.
Okay.
Look down at all those peasants.
Oh, where were you on this hierarchy?
Less than 100 international caps. I'll not be spending time with you.
So what's the formula? Or do you explain it in the interview?
Let's leave it. Okay. Yeah, Jacob will explain it.
Lovely. That's very interesting. We never had anything like that. We were all very equal in Munster, I think, you know.
Well, maybe that's why you've been so successful through the years.
Perhaps it was. Yeah, I'm not sure. But I hope you spoke a little bit about the Autumn Internationals and that try and everything else that went on.
Yeah, we didn't get too bogged down in the hierarchy in Ulster. He also went on to tell us about his world-famous try that he scored against the All Blacks, defeating the All Blacks Trimble-esque single-handedly. Yeah, we talked a little bit about that and the ups and downs of that game. The downs being Kieran Reid nearly ruining the day for him.
Yeah.
And how different things might have been. And there was a movie reference.
Go on.
Not as cool a reference as the start of your Star Wars. Your, what was it, 45 minute long analogy?
It was 11 minutes, okay.
Yeah.
And it was very apt. And
it was, yeah.
Appropriate, I think. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Go on, hit me with your one, we'll see.
No, you can hear it, you'll hear it on
okay.
I'll explain it live to Jake.
Perfect. Okay, well look, let's waste no more time. Here is Andrew interviewing Jacob Stockdale last weekend.
Unfortunately, Lady Gaga wasn't available to be interviewed this week, but we have our second choice. Thanks. No offence.
Pretty rude.
Yeah, you're ahead of all the other professional rugby players in Ireland, but just behind Lady Gaga. So, bittersweet.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I would imagine you would take that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've got Jacob Stockdale here, for anybody who doesn't know. Jacob, you've had quite an 18 months, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. it's been hectic, to be honest. It seems like ages ago that I got my first cap there in America, and then it's kind of just all like snowballed since then, I suppose.
Yeah, it just did, I suppose, after what was such a successful first season, just winning everything, scoring tries for fun, Six Nations Player of the Year. Were you concerned at all going into the second season, thinking, is second season syndrome, is that a thing? Or have you just completely disproved that?
No, yeah, obviously, I got the hammy tear at the start of pre-season, and then I was like, it almost made it even worse as well, because then, I've got all this, added, kind of pressure of missing five games and coming in five games late, and then having to, just try and switch it on all of a sudden, and in fairness, I got that lucky score against Connacht, Keenan Blade kind of tried to catch it and dropped it. And I think that was a really good way to kind of settle any of those anxieties. And then after that, it kind of just felt like I was back into normal rugby, back into the season.
I always hated the start of a new season, especially if the previous season had finished well, because I always thought, I'm going to completely forget how to play rugby here. I haven't caught there's obviously training and stuff, but I haven't played a match in 3 months.
Yeah.
And it's totally irrational, that thought. And then once you've got an injury, then that extends that. And as you say, it puts more pressure on.
Yeah, and because then you're going into a game and you're going my hammy's not right. And I don't know how to play rugby. I've forgotten everything. But then once the first kickoff goes, you realise actually grand.
I'm still class.
Yeah, I'm still incredible.
Yeah. You must have been thinking, so obviously it looked like you just picked up where you left off. and you're playing really good rugby, you must have been a little bit concerned whenever you were named on the touring party to go to Chicago. You must have been thinking, these guys are all second string. I was playing for the A's last year. Yeah. You must have been worried.
I was like a 15 player.
Yeah.
In fairness, like, yeah, because like in my head, like the kind of week leading up to the Chicago, I'd kind of, you know, you do the maths and you kind of go, like, well, I think he'll play here. Uh-huh. Maybe I'll play here. And then kind of figured like, oh, okay, I don't think I'm going to Chicago. And then I got down to camp and in fairness, I should have seen all the signs. Like, I was getting all the emails, I was in all the WhatsApp groups, you know, you're going to Chicago. Yeah. I was like, to just tell myself that I wasn't going to be. And then I was, and then, yeah. And then I played, and I was starting, and I was kind of, yeah, I was a wee bit worried, like, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously, Joe knows what he's at and knows how to rotate a team and stuff. Yeah. Like, so.
I'd say, you know, so you were worried, and you were sort of thinking, right, I need a big one here to kind of change the tide, maybe.
Yeah.
That first carry, Joe went, oh, no, he's back in the A's.
Right, bring him off again.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of those ones, like, you know what I mean? You catch 100 kickoffs, and that happens one out of the 100 times.
Yeah.
It just happened to be in the first one of the game, like, you know, so it was, it was a pretty handy way to get stuck in back into like the international setup again as well.
Yeah. And then obviously then kicked on. Did you play against Argentina? You
did
that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So you played all three. Oh, you didn't play.
Obviously played really well. Like, yeah, lasting memory in your head. Like,
no one could care less about the Argentina game. I was at the game and it was flat. To be fair, it wasn't as flat as the USA game.
Yeah.
But like, it just
sitting on their phones, not even watching the game. Like,
at one stage in the USA game was worse again. There was a scrum. And they're 22.
The Mexican wave
started. Yeah. No one gave a monkey's what was going on the pitch.
I've never seen that at a rugby match. Yeah. I think that was also like part of the Americans being there as well.
Yeah.
I'd say that was an issue.
We were like showing off, were we?
Yeah,
the Irish were like, we know how to party.
Yeah. And there was like four Americans in the crowd and they just started it. And then we were like, yeah, that's pretty, that looks fun. Yeah, let's try that.
Yeah. But yeah, everything was about the New Zealand game. Everything was building up to it. And then even the USA game was an afterthought, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, even from Joe, from the prep, kind of was everything geared towards that, the All Blacks game.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, I mean, Italy are still a Six Nations team. Like, Argentina are still, you know, a very dangerous side. So, like, you know what it's like being in camp. Like, Joe doesn't like look past games much, but at the same time, like, yeah, I mean, essentially this. This entire season was leading up to that New Zealand game, you know, like that's all people have been talking about. So yeah, there was like an added, you know, kind of like you know, we could have, you know, you could have lost against Argentina, and as long as you beat New Zealand, it would have been a successful November series. You know what I mean? Not that we wanted to do that, obviously, and that's not the mindset we were going in with. But you know, yeah, there was definitely a different edge. You know,
the feeling outside of camp is let's just get this. Potential banana skin. How offensive is that to Argentina? That's what everybody was saying.
Yeah, they've knocked us out of two World Cups.
Like, we were like, right, get the banana skin out of the way and then move on to the big game. But so that kind of that media phrase, I suppose, we're only concerned about the next game. You're only as good as your next game, whatever. Yeah. And Joe really does seem to implement that in his approach. Because he gives the right amount of respect to the Argentinas of this world, the Italys of this world.
Yeah.
But there's been a slight change in the approach since the New Zealand game. People have started talking about the World Cup and Ireland winning the World Cup. That expression, that phrase, never have even come into the vocabulary of Irish players up until that game. Has something changed?
I don't think something's changed. Like,
especially whenever you consider the next game is England.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think There's always been a bit of like, you know, obviously there's been a focus on the World Cup since like, you know, the Grand Slam there, you know, in Six Nations, like, you know, that was a kind of a good like kind of, you know, litmus test almost to kind of see where we were at, you know. And once we did that and then, you know, won the series out in Australia, like there's a few things like, you know, they're starting to build up to a point where like we're starting to feel confident about the World Cup, you know, like. It's been talked about that, like, you know, we want this to be the most successful World Cup ever. But yeah, when you beat the All Blacks, like, you know, less than a year before the World Cup starts, like, it's naturally going to start being on the lips of people, and, you know, the media, like, are going to start to kind of run with that. You know, the idea that, like, if we don't win the World Cup, like, this is an unsuccessful you know, year, which is, it's mad to think that, like, we're even being put in that bracket, you know, Irish rugby, but it's good. Like,
it feels like we can cope with, that more now, whereas back in the day, 3, 4, 5 years ago, then it just, you would have thought that, you know, maybe a tactical loss against the All Blacks might have just almost suited us better in the long run.
Don't piss them off.
Like. Exactly, yeah. don't like, get in their face, or don't muck it up. Just stay under the radar and then just peak for the World Cup. But we've just gone, you know what? We're better than you and me. We're going to win the World Cup.
We're England essentially now.
So exactly, like, exactly.
Yeah, no, like, it's probably just a product of, like, you know, how we're playing as a team. Like, you know, whenever you're playing well and you know, you're performing like you're getting performances like we've had, like, you automatically become a target, you know, and people want to take a scalp and say, like, yeah, we're gonna go and beat the Irish here, like, and that's a, you know, people naturally get up for bigger games. So yeah, there's probably something you said about kind of slipping under the radar, you know, but at the same time, like, you want that confidence that you're the best team going in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, and people have to up their game to beat you.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's what you
want. It's for longevity as well. If you're gonna do it consistently, if you're gonna win consistent Grand Slams, compete well at World Cups, and just have, you know, if you want to kind of, if we've changed the impression or the complexion of Irish rugby, we want that to be a long term thing. And if it's gonna be a long term thing, then we have to cope with being favourites.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, you know, you look at. You look at Leinster, like, they've kind of done that longevity thing very well. You know, where, like, they're now just producing, like, young academy lads that have just are just literally coming into the academy with so much confidence, going out into the pitch and playing well. Like, if you look at the team, you know, that beat the Ospreys there last weekend, like, it's like, I think somebody said Noel Reid had more caps than the rest of the back line combined and the backs on the bench combined as well. Like, so, I mean, yeah, like, these guys, you know, most of them didn't have more than 10 caps or 5 caps, and, and they tore our space to shreds, you know,
so annoying, isn't it?
It is. It's actually disgusting to watch, you know? Like, but yeah, like, it's
because I was over in Wales at the Scarlets game with Ulster, and Shane Williams was talking about, or maybe Ross Harris, the presenter, was saying, you know, if ever, you know, this is a great time to play Leinster at the RDS, you know, a few youngsters there, and Ospreys were, you know, they hadn't lost too many guys to Wales, and they were like fancying their chances. I was there, don't be so naive. Leinster, they do it every weekend. They even when they play youngsters, they just, it's like they're just a machine, aren't they?
They are. And in fairness, like, that's something that's been building over the last kind of 4 or 5 years for them. Like, I mean, was it 2013 they were in the Challenge Cup? I mean, or is it Challenge Cup? Yeah,
Hamlin back then, maybe
Hamlin. I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah, second year. the loser cup.
The loser. And then, you know, from there, like, they've gone on winning Pro 14s and winning Champions Cups, and you're kind of it's very similar to the state that Irish rugby's in. Like, you know, Joe's bringing it, like, he's bringing in young lads, and like, you have no option but to be, you play well. If you don't play well, you're gone. That's that, you know. Like, that's how I felt whenever I first came into the setup. Like, I mean, we played USA and Japan, and realistically, like, nobody cared about that tour, but like, it felt like a World Cup final for me, you know what I mean? Because I was like, I need to play well here. If I don't play well, like, I'm never having an Irish career.
And
that's the kind of, like, you know, it's the kind of like, culture that Joe's built into that you just have to be excellent every time you're on the pitch.
Well, I would probably even take that even further. Even for those perceived smaller games, when you're playing in Ireland, there's never a small game, but relatively to playing the All Blacks. But sometimes, even when you're training under Joe, I feel like,
like, the walkthroughs, like,
the walkthroughs. You're not even getting out of the hotel.
There's no terrifying moment of camp. Like,
I know.
You go, not another walkthrough. Like, just get to survive.
I know. I remember Wednesday nights, you go in, and the whole, like, from lunchtime on a Wednesday, I'm starting to get stressed out about the walkthrough. I'm more stressed out about the walkthrough than the test match of the weekend.
It's so true. Like, you know.
But it actually does. It has the desired effect. If you're under that kind of pressure routinely, you start to get used to that, and then you can cope with the pressure in game day more.
Yeah, I think that's it. Like, you know, Joe, like, he does say, in training, you know, and I'm sure you've experienced this. He says, like, I'm gonna push you really hard, like, so that whenever you go into the game, like, you can handle that. And, like, you know, like, Faz does that as well. Like, you know, he'll be making us defend with, like, you know, 10 players, and he's saying, like if you can D the rep, like, with 10 players, like, you know, in a game, nobody should be scoring a try against you, you know? So, like, yeah, it's like, I think, like, that's just probably, like, and then I think the way that we've been playing is kind of a byproduct of that training.
Yeah. So let's take it back to the All Blacks game there a couple of weeks ago. Have you ever seen the movie Sliding Doors?
I can't say.
With Gwyneth Paltrow. It's all about this moment in time where something fairly unimportant happens, and it changes the course of a person's life.
Okay.
So then it shows this parallel universe where Gwyneth Paltrow gets the train and where she doesn't get the train, and that's how her life pans out, and she ends up happily married, and she ends up whatever it is. If Kieran Reid had...
I knew that's where you were going with that. Like,
if Kieran Reid had caught that ball,
yeah,
do you think that would have massively changed the course of your life?
I should imagine so, yeah. I would imagine so. I'd say I would have got probably the same amount of messages after the game, but people would just being like, I hate you.
No way, you're getting a hard time.
No, I'm saying, like, if he had caught it, like...
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Like,
so you didn't get any I hate you messages, surely?
No. They're all very complimentary, but okay, yeah. I'm saying, you know, you were talking about the sliding door thing, like, is it sliding doors? What's it called?
Sliding doors, yeah.
Like, if he had caught it, do you know what I mean? I'd say I would have had as many messages, but just people tearing me to shreds, like, you know, so, yeah, there was a bit of poo running down the leg, like, the scrum afterwards, like...
Did someone say that you... I don't know, I read this somewhere. Someone said you shouted, "Drop it."
Yeah, that
not right? Did
that,
I hear
that? Like, no, that, yes, that was taken out of, like, context, I suppose. No, I didn't, like...
Why did you shout, don't drop it?
Catch
it!
Yeah. No, I was like, you know what, I was more saying, like, I was screaming, "Drop it," like, in my head.
Okay,
somebody took it very literally.
You know, that's, like, annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, just for a headline, a cheap headline.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Which I used.
Sorry, but yeah, no, it was more like me going, I was like, oh yeah, no, like, when it happened, I was just screaming, "Drop it."
Yeah, okay.
Like, but then he was like, took it very literally, like, yeah. I screamed, "Drop it," at Kieran Reid.
I think that's willful ignorance on the journalist part.
Yeah,
he knows, like, you didn't mean that literally.
Yeah,
he just wanted a headline.
Like the do you know, like, the Lego thing recently?
Oh yeah.
Like, because I enjoy just building Lego, and then, like, somebody was like, "Oh, is it kind of like a mindfulness thing?" And I was like, I didn't really think about it that way, but, like, I suppose so. Yeah, like, it's a good way to kind of switch off, you know, switch off. And then, like, I saw a headline literally next day. It's like, Jacob Stockdale says Lego is the secret to smashing the All Blacks, and it's like, nah, it's not.
You know, the one annoying thing about that is that the boys will slag you about that.
Oh yeah,
they'll think, oh, Jacob's trying to be all attention seeking whenever you just literally, like, just opened up a small bit about liking Lego.
Yeah,
there's no more to it, really, is
that,
there?
It is very, very much like, I was bored in the hotel.
Yeah.
I went and bought some Lego to pass some time.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much it.
I once did an interview, might have been Irish Times or something, and it was like a lifestyle piece. It wasn't a rugby bit, so loads of chat about family background and school and all this here. And they asked me about my upbringing, and I said, yeah, I've got two sisters. They're like 5 and 6 years older than me. We had talked for about 45 minutes at this stage. I said, I think I'm a little mistake. And then a few days later, the headline was, "Trimble, I'm a mistake."
Oh, jeez. Like,
I have my mum on the phone saying, "Andrew, you're not a mistake."
Yeah, it's
isn't that so annoying?
Yeah, because you say something, and then, like, half the time I make headlines and don't even remember saying that in an interview. I'm like, did I say that?
Yeah,
I think I did. You know,
but there's a moment where they've just gone.
Yeah, you can see their eyes light up.
Got him.
Just write it down.
Exactly. Yeah,
awful stuff. Like,
so tell me what. Obviously, I haven't had that exposure to Joe and Farrell over the last 18 months. You can see that the effect it's had on you. You can see how useful it is to be in that environment and just get better every day. How do you see that changing? And is it, it's obviously a significant moment with Joe deciding that's such a classy touch, isn't it? He's not saying I'm going to the All Blacks, I'm staying on. He said I'm finishing coaching, just in his terms. How's that going to affect, and what ways that Farrell going to fill those shoes? Do you see someone else coming in, or what way do you see that?
It's hard to really tell. Like, we didn't really have any inkling either way whether he was going or he was staying. Like, he kept it. Well, I mean, I'm sure some of the like bestie probably had an idea.
Because
we're really like Pablo Escobar, like. But us lower level lads, you know, us peasants, we didn't. I had no idea. Like, so I mean, yeah, I think it's fair. It is just like it's a decision he's made and just said like, this is a good place to leave it. You know, whether you know. Like Faz will come, you know, once he kind of takes over that role. Like if he does, you know, I don't know whether things will change massively. You know, obviously each coach brings something that, you know, brings a different kind of style of coaching. And but like there's that culture there, you know, and there's that player group there that you know, you almost feel like, you know, the players have got that culture now, and that's going to stay for good, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
much like, you know, New Zealand, you know, like you could probably bring, you know, a different coach in, and they'd still be, you know, competing to be the best in the world, and most likely the best in the world, you know. So it's hard to tell if anything's going to change, but you know, I'd say you know, when Joe does eventually leave us, like I can't see it, you know, all just crumbling to pieces and all falling down, because he's kind of like he's like, you know, built this kind of this thing that's now Irish rugby, and it's pretty solid.
And he has kind of gradually stepped back from it a little bit. I would imagine behind the scenes he's still in the middle of a lot, but even like publicly he presents teams, you know, the coaches selection, and he presents you know, Richie and Faz and Simon, all these guys will be at press conferences and all. So he is, it's almost like he's trying to build a more sustainable product, I suppose, something that's going to last beyond him.
Yeah,
which is even more impressive, I suppose. But I mean, Farrell, the impact Farrell's had on the squad, I suppose, seems to go unnoticed a little bit because Joe is kind of so central to everything. But Farrell's an incredible coach, isn't he?
Yeah, Ireland have had some fantastic defence coaches over the years. But like, I don't know, Faz just brings something a bit different, like a bit of an edge, or I'm not really sure what it is. But he's a fantastic coach, and like he's done a lot for me, like personally in my game, like over the last kind of year and a half. Like even if you look, you know, like the games I played in the Six Nations, I think my defense has evolved massively between then and, you know, the New Zealand game. You know, where like I just feel like I'm not making stupid reads and not making stupid mistakes anymore.
Yeah.
And now, in fairness, it's not just Faz, like Jared here, like Piano here, has been class in terms of like, you know, just getting that like week to week stuff in and doing that. But yeah, like, you know, he's a fantastic coach, and I wouldn't have any qualms with him, you know, taking over that head coach role, and I think he'll be fantastic at it.
Yeah, okay. And we just kind of moved to Ulster then. You talked about the tier one, the Rory Best and the Sextons with Ireland. Am I right in saying it's just those two, or is anybody else would be?
Pete's up there as well.
Pete, of course.
And CJ. CJ would be up there too.
Yeah.
They
rule the roost then, boys.
Yeah.
They call the shots.
Yeah. Pete, I'd say Bessie and Johnny are your three.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Top of the
yeah, untouchables.
Top of the pile, like, yeah.
Untouchables. Yeah. Who's the untouchables at Ulster?
Probably myself. obviously Bessie, like, I mean,
there's only one untouchable, isn't there?
Yeah, really, realistically, yeah, he's had that top change room spot for like he literally created a system in the change room so that he'd stay.
I know.
He'd stay in his change room spot.
I had more Ulster appearances than him.
He was like, how can we, right, we'll make Ireland caps worth three.
Yeah.
So nobody can get anywhere near me.
He created a formula.
Yeah, he created a formula where his score was like 800 and everybody else is like 90.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he had an absolute blinder, didn't he? He just wanted to be in the number one spot.
Yeah. And he was like, we'll make Lion caps worth five just to be safe as well.
The system worked well for you, actually. You've shot up.
Yeah, I'm like top 10 at the moment. Like, yeah. I'm like that back wall. Like.
Because we keep retiring. Me, Tommy, Chad got halfway through the system and just went,
stop this, I'm ready here.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's how I felt all last year.
I heard he got just too busy with his testimonial and just,
yeah.
He's like,
I haven't time for rugby.
Yeah, he's like, I'm earning far too much money with his testimonial. I don't need rugby anymore.
All going to charity, apparently.
Yeah, that's what he's telling people, like,
spoof.
Yeah.
So,
Chest Heart Foundation. Like.
So, who's the characters? Who's taking over from. From you.
Is that what you're trying to say? Like,
yeah. Beagle as well.
Yeah. Jeez, some big characters. In fairness, yeah, like we were talking before, like Will Addison has come in and like he's a complete freak, so he is like real weirdo. I'm a weirdo as well. Like, like we used to have some weird conversations and stuff.
I'd be concerned that the listeners and viewers would think that weirdo is a derogatory term, but you mean it in a complimentary.
Nah, not really. Like,
what?
No, I mean it in the most complimentary way possible because, like, well, when I say a weirdo is a compliment, like, I'm a weirdo, so
yeah,
I'm complimenting myself, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, well.
Because there's no one I know that you like more than yourself. That's so.
You're not even wrong. Like,
yeah.
You're not even wrong.
You know, I did the English House of Rugby last night. Mike Tindall was on it. Haskell couldn't make it. He had to get like his ankle operated on again or something.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it was me and Tindall, and it was a very different vibe. It was all like Tindall was telling stories about back in the day when Martin Johnson and they were out boozing, and Johnson, he walked into the bar and Johnson goes, "Oh, do you want me to straighten your nose for you, mate?"
And I'm talking about building Lego.
Exactly. Exactly. And he was like praising that old school thuggery.
Yeah.
And he got knocked out by Johnson in the bar. Yeah. All these fights on the pitch and all. And we're like, oh, he's class. He's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a dramatic change.
Yeah. Like we literally I think Will's great because like we just quote Hot Fuzz to each other. Yeah. Maybe
quote Hot Fuzz to Mike Tindall and see how that see how that goes down.
What?
Yeah.
Sleeping.
Yeah, it won't work.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So Will's pretty good. Al O'Connor's good crack. Again, do you know what? I'm actually just naming all the weird lads. Like, that's a worrying trend here. Like,
Shanahan.
Again.
Right up there.
Weirdo.
In terms of weirdness, fun, likability.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like, yeah, we actually are just like a group of freaks.
And there's a bit of talent coming through as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of young backs. Angus Curtis, Angus Kernahan. James Hume, Mike Laurie.
He's something special. Like,
he went brilliant, didn't he?
Yeah, that Leicester game. I mean, he was.
Yeah,
because like obviously, like he was a bit of a surprise selection in that team. Like, and then obviously, I think George Ford probably saw him in the warm up and was like, "Right, well, I'm gonna be sticking bombs on you all day."
Really, that's the obvious thing you could see it coming a mile.
Yeah, and the first one, I was like, obviously he dropped it. They got a scrum penalty. I was going, "Oh, this could be a long day," but that then, you know, the next four or five, like they put him up and he was just cleaning them up, you know.
Yeah.
And then you're going
and going well in contact and making line breaks and
like, I mean, he's like 78 kilos or 80 kilos or something like that, but he's just,
is he weird? Is he weird like us?
Worryingly normal. Really nice. He's really nice. You know what I mean?
That's not a compliment.
Nah, it's not.
I think he's a wee bit weird. I think he's got a wee quirky, funny side, is he?
I'd say he does, Yeah, like after the Leicester game, we went out and he came and he rocked up in like a beige zip up jacket, and I was kind
of
like,
nice levels of weirdness.
Yeah, I was kind of like, no, I didn't know
that's
that
more like
didn't
it.
Didn't know that about you. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. At least I think. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's been class every time he stepped on the pitch. I think he's been phenomenal.
And playing out of position as well.
Yeah, he played the whole way up through rugby, or up through rugby, up through school rugby, as a 10.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And yeah, like now he's playing 15 and killing it. Like, he's a bit of a Matthew Morgan, I think. You know,
yeah.
Similar kind of guy.
Big future with Ulster.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
On and off the pitch.
We'll lock him down, so.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we might have run out of time. In fact, we might have gone over. We might have to edit some of the weird chat out.
Yeah, fair. It's probably not a bad idea, in fairness.
Yeah. Jacob, thanks a lot.
No worries.
Good man.
Cheers, Jimmy. Cheers.
Me and Barry went on this random tangent, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And Pat, the producer, held up a piece of paper that had rugby written on it.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.